This morning's message, prepared by Pastor Harold, is entitled, Where's the Power? Based on the account of Pentecost found in the book of Acts. I will begin by reading a portion of it, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Did you know that there are more than 100 Christian churches in Richmond and Ladner? That's a pretty big number. That averages out to be one church for every 250 people. These churches represent different denominations, different styles of architecture, and many worship styles. The question I have for you is this: how can we have so many churches and so much sin and suffering at the same time? How can we have so many churches and still have so much crime, so much violence, so much family trouble? You'd think with so many churches in the area, conditions might be a lot better than they are, but that does not seem to be the case. The church is supposed to be the wellspring of hope and healing for a sinful world, but that does not seem to be the case. Despite the number of Christians in Christian churches, it seems our influence on civic life and social problems is minimal. There's only one thing to say about this situation. The church needs power. We do not need new music or new pews as much as we need power. We do not need new buildings as much as we need spiritual life inside those buildings we already have. We do not need new and fun events as much as we need a revival in our hearts. We have pastors and programs and potlucks, but they seem to have little influence beyond the church walls, in which they operate and touch very few people who are living just outside the doors of most of our church buildings. What do you think someone in Richmond would answer if you asked them, "What do you know about the Lutheran church in town?" Hopefully the answer would not be, "There's a Lutheran church in town?" Our pastor has said that when he has asked this question, these are some of the answers he got. "Oh, that's the church with the A-frame and the big stained glass front." And, "Oh, that's the church with the big red sign." And also, "Oh, that's the church that gives out the free hot dogs during Open Doors Richmond." On the one hand, it is nice that our neighbors know we are here. And there's certainly nothing wrong with A-frames, stained glass, church signs, and hot dogs. But is this all we want our church to be known for in a community filled with sin, heartache, and separation from God? There are deep spiritual needs all around us that will not be met with stained glass and hot dogs. They can only be addressed with the very power of God. The church needs power. Our church needs power. This is not the first time that the church has been without the power needed to transform the city in which it lived. The same thing was true in the city of Jerusalem, as was described in the opening lines of the book of Acts, read in our epistle lesson for today. Jesus had just risen in Easter victory and had ascended back into heaven. The whole world was awaiting the gospel message, the message of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. But not a sound could be heard. The disciples who had been called and trained by Jesus to carry his message to the ends of the earth were all locked up in a second-story room. They were hiding from the very people who needed their message. They were whispering to each other behind locked doors rather than shouting to Jerusalem about the message of salvation. Right outside their doors were the crippled and the sick. Right outside their doors were the spiritually hungry. Right outside their doors were the Roman soldiers of war needing the Prince of Peace. Right outside their doors were religious people who were going through the motions, but ignorant of the Messiah who had come. But these disciples could not offer the world outside their doors anything because they had no power. But thank God, on that day of Pentecost, something happened that transformed the men in that room, and they in turn opened the locked doors, stepped out of the room, and to quote Acts 17:6, turned the world upside down. What happened on that first Pentecost, today's church should not just remember, but pray God would do for us as well. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God fell upon them in a powerful way. These men were given God's own power as they left their locked room and proclaimed the Holy Gospel. Now remember, these were not educated men. They were blue-collar workers. They only spoke their own native Hebrew language, and that probably not very well. And by a miracle of God, people of many different countries heard these men proclaim the good news of Jesus in their many different languages, all at the same time, with no need for a translator. Acts 2 further tells us, "And there were in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven, and the multitude was amazed because each one was hearing them speak in his own language the mighty works of God." The power of God came in a mighty way as the good news of Jesus, the gospel, was being preached. As St. Paul says in Romans 1, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." By the end of that day, 3,000 new converts had been added to the Jerusalem church. Those who heard the gospel that day took it back with them to their homes all over the world. All of this happened because men who had no influence and no power had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they could preach with power. Now they could pray with power. Now they could witness with power because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost day. And on this Pentecost day, we are all invited to pray to God that something similar would happen to us, that God would wake us up and make us alive so that our church and other churches around us will have the power that is needed to address the needs that surround us in our community today. Those men that left the upper room to spread the gospel were so excited that some in their city thought they were drunk on wine. Our Acts 2 text says, "Some made fun of them. They have had too much wine." Now, certainly none of us want to appear to be publicly intoxicated, but how nice it would be for each of us today to have our hearts more set on fire for the cause of Jesus. Today, in this place, we need the fire of the Spirit to fall upon us. It's so easy for us today to become complacent, lazy, satisfied, and to not live for Jesus in a world that so desperately needs him. Dear God, please let what happened to Peter happen to us. Before Pentecost, the last anyone heard from Peter, he was telling people three times before a rooster crowed that he did not even know Jesus. Now, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter was preaching so boldly that 3,000 came to saving faith in Jesus. What an impact his preaching made for the welfare of thousands of people. Friends, today let me ask you a what-if question. What if we here at Trinity had somehow discovered a cure for cancer? Just imagine, a cure for one of the worst killers of people all over the world. A cure for that damnable disease that has painfully taken from us so many loved ones. A cure for that damnable disease that continues to plague you, me, all whom we love, all people. And imagine, we have a cure. Sharing that cure would mean the end of cancer for all time, and it wouldn't cost a dime. It'd be absolutely free. What would we do? We'd share it. We'd give it away. We simply could not keep it to ourselves. It would mean life for the world. The truth is, we have a cure for something much worse than cancer. We have a cure for something much worse than an earthly illness. We have a cure for sin, hell, and eternal death. The cure is the great physician himself. His name is Jesus. What was it that Peter preached that turned the world upside down? What was it that Peter preached that in one day saved 3,000 people from an eternity apart from God? What was it that Peter preached that still needs to be preached to give forgiveness, hope, and strength to people today? What is it that you alone is your hope, the hope of Richmond, of Canada, the hope of the entire world? His name is Jesus. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. On the cross, Jesus defeated death. On the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. On the cross, Jesus, the precious Son of God, gave his life for you and settled your eternal account with Almighty God. The Bible tells us clearly, the wages of sin is death. The wages we each should be paid for, our sin, is death and eternal hell apart from God. But in his love for each of us, God sent his Son to settle the account. As you trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, your account is settled. It is paid in full. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it this way, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed." There's a lot of healing that needs to be done today. Sin healing, emotional healing, family healing, society healing. Jesus can heal Richmond today. Jesus can heal our world today. Who will get the word out? Think about what the Lord has done in your life. And if he has blessed you, let the world know it. If he has made a way for you when there was no way, let the world know it. If you are sick and he healed you, let the world know it. If you were laid low but he restored your joy, let the world know it. If you were frightened but he remained right by your side, let the world know it. If the preaching and teaching of God's word from this pulpit has ever spoken to your heart and made a difference in your life, invite others to come here with you. Psalm 107 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Imagine the impact on our community if each of the 300 members of this congregation let one other person know what Jesus has done for them. Please bow your heads to pray with me now. Dear God, today on this day of Pentecost, call down your Holy Spirit upon us that we might have your power to impact our world. Open the doors of our church building so that the good news of Jesus we share week after week inside this building might spill out into the streets of Richmond and the world in which we live. Give us a holy burden for all people in need of your love and your healing. Dear Lord, you have blessed us as a congregation, but help us here at Trinity to not be complacent or satisfied or unwilling to take risks. Lord, give us your power, for Jesus' sake and the sake of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.